Well, a couple weeks ago, over the past few weeks, we've been talking about investing your life in what matters the most. We looked at the parable Jesus told of the rich fool who invested all of his time, all of his talents, all of his resources in himself. And in the end, he lost it all. And the kind of closing statement that Jesus made was, "And so it is with everyone who is not rich toward God or not generous toward God." And then we went on to see the following week that as you continue in Luke chapter 12, Jesus talks about, you know, not worrying about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and that he will provide and, you know, seeking his kingdom first. And we realize that for most of us, it's probably we have more of an obsession of what we don't have. We worry about our needs and our wants, but we're reminded that God knows those and he will provide. And his call in all of that, whether you're the rich man who has much wealth or you're the person who's worrying about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear, God reminds us that if we seek his kingdom first or we focus on his kingdom, he provides all of those things for us. And that when we center our lives on God, we will invest in eternal things. Jesus talked about laying up treasures in heaven. And so we spoke about the fact that at the conclusion of all of that, from Romans chapter 4, verse 12, we see that each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. So whether you're that person who's obsessed with all the things that you want and the wealth that you want to consume, or whether you're that person that constantly worries about every little detail of your life, God's call is to focus on him, to focus on eternal things, and he reminds us that in the end, all of us stand before God and we give an account of our lives to him. So we're going to continue through that passage in Luke chapter 12. You can look there if you would like, and in just a moment we'll have the passage up on the screen as well. And today we're going to look at what Jesus teaches us about living in such a way that we are always ready to give an answer to God for how we have used our lives. And we're always ready to give an answer to God for how we have used our lives or how we are using our lives today. And we're going to look at the responsibility of what it means to be a good steward or a good manager of what God has entrusted to us. So let me read this passage beginning in verse 35 of Luke chapter 12. Now realize that when I start reading this and the kind of the description and the language that's used here is something that's not really common to us. We don't have, most of us aren't wealthy landowners who have lots of servants. This was written to a culture in that day that they completely understood what Jesus was talking about here. But for us, it may sound a little bit foreign, the idea of being a steward or a manager, being entrusted with things like these servants were entrusted by their master. But I think you'll get the gist of it as we read down through this passage. So beginning in verse 35, "Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. Like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or the third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." And Peter asked, "Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone?" And the Lord answered, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager?" Or in many translations, we'll say the faithful and wise steward. And we'll talk about that term in a minute. "Who then is the faithful and wise steward whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming, and he then begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour when he is not aware of it. He will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. That's pretty harsh language, isn't it? The servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who knows not how and does things deserving of punishment will be beaten with few blows. For everyone who, and this is a verse that is unnerving for me, to be honest with you. And it should be for us who sit under the preaching of God's word week after week after week. For everyone who has been given much, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. If I could just pick out a couple of things without trying to explain all of the details in the context of this passage, I would say these things. First of all, we need to always live with the expectancy of Christ's return. And we need to always live for him and serve him as if he were to return tomorrow. And that's kind of the gist of what Jesus is talking about. The master goes away and he's coming back and he expects to find his servants waiting and ready and serving. So we should always live with the expectancy of Christ's return. We should always live for him and serve him as if he were to return tomorrow. And I think also implied here in this passage is that we need to be living for God and serving him because we don't know when he will come and call us individually out of this present world. So it's not just, this passage is not just, well, someday in the future, Christ is going to be returned and we need to be watching and ready and we need to be waiting. I think just like the story of the rich fool, we need to realize that we don't know when our last day is. And we need to be living for Christ. We need to be serving him because we don't know when he's going to call us home out of this present world. And the kind of the two mistakes that were made at the end by the person who ends up getting punished because he's not doing his master's will, the two mistakes he made is he basically is saying to himself, well, I will do what I like while my master is away. And I think sometimes we tend to compartmentalize our lives so much, and here's church on Sunday morning, and then here's the rest of our life, and we tend to think, well, you know, it's going to be a long time before I die, or it's going to be a long time before Jesus returns, so, you know, I'll just do what I like. I'll eat, drink, and be merry. I'll live my life the way I want to, because the master is away. And what we don't realize is that while Jesus is present at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, the Holy Spirit is here, present with us. So in that sense, we are never away from God's presence, and we dare not fall into that trap of just thinking, well, I'll live the way that I want, because all of that's somewhere off in the distance. And the second mistake I think that the person made is that the thinking that, well, I've got plenty of time. I've got plenty of time to put things right before the master gets back. And the whole point of these stories is we don't know. We don't know when God is going to come, when Christ is going to return, when we're going to be called into account. So the whole gist of this passage to me is that we are to be living as good stewards of what God has entrusted to us today. Up until the last day of our lives, or the day that Christ returns, we are to be living as good stewards of what God has entrusted us today. And we really ought to be living with the realization that today or tomorrow might be our last day. We don't know. There's no guarantees. And so we need to be living using our lives and what God has entrusted to us today. Now, the concept of a steward in biblical times carried through clear through the Middle Ages. You know, if you ever watched the show Downton Abbey, the butler is pretty much that same sort of role as a steward was. So a steward in biblical times was very commonly understood. That it's not a concept that we're that familiar with. And a steward was someone who is given the responsibility to care for and properly use all of the resources of his master or all of the resources of the king. So in this description that Jesus gives, this parable here, that's kind of the picture. There's a steward, a servant, who's been entrusted to care for his master's household while his master is away. So the concept of a steward was given responsibility to care for and to properly use the resources of his master. Everything was entrusted to their care, and they answered to their master or king for how they used what was put in their care. And so the word steward, from which we get our idea of stewardship, comes from a Greek word which means somebody who manages a household. And that person doesn't own the household, but that person manages it. And so a steward in ancient times was entrusted with the things of his master. And that meant, in practical sense, it meant from making sure the floors were clean to handling the finances, to the public face of the household. In the Old Testament, Joseph, as a good example, he was basically made the steward by the Pharaoh or king of Egypt. That means he was given the authority, the resources of the whole nation of Egypt were entrusted to Joseph. We know that Joseph himself, in that position of leadership, had his own steward who would manage the affairs that he entrusted to him. So it was a common thing in biblical times, and up really through a large part of history, those who were wealthy, those who were landowners, those who were kings or princes or whatever, would have a steward that they would entrust their resources to. And in some of the newer translations where the word steward is not used in the English language, they're described as those entrusted with. Or someone who is given a trust is a steward. If you look up in a dictionary, the definition of stewardship is the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. Stewardship is the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. I love what C.S. Lewis wrote in Mere Christianity. He said, every faculty you have, your power of thinking or of moving your limbs from moment to moment, is given you by God. If you devoted every moment of your whole life exclusively to his service, you could not give him anything that was not, in a sense, his already. We don't give anything to God that's not already his already. The talents and abilities we have, the time that we have, the resources that we have, we're just giving it back to him. Now, unfortunately, many Christians today, we associate the idea of stewardship with simply things like church budgets and building programs. But it's a lot broader than that. It's the response of our whole lives, giving our lives back to God. And the whole point of this idea of stewardship is that we are not the owners. I am not the owner and the master of my own life. I might think that I am, but I'm not. And we are not owners, but rather we have been trusted with resources. We've been trusted with the care of everything, creation, gifts and talents, money, time, the gospel. We've been entrusted with that for the sake of God's purposes in the world. We don't own it. We've been entrusted with it, and we give it back to God. Stewardship is using what God has entrusted to you for him and for the good of others. Let me say that again, and you can write it down if you want, because I think it's a good definition. Stewardship is using what God has entrusted to you for him and for the good of others. So whatever resources, talents, abilities, gifts, and skills that you have, those have been given to you by God, and they are for a purpose that is beyond your own or my own enrichment. So even the ability that you have to work, the ability that you have to earn money, the ability that you have to create things, all those things are actually given to you by God. And God has given us those things so that we can use them to serve Him and to serve others. And we often talk about the fact that the most practical way we can wrap our minds about what it means to serve God is we serve God by loving and serving others. Now, I was in my reading for this past week, I came across these four principles of biblical stewardship. They're from the Institute of Faith, Work, and Economics, which I didn't even know such an institute existed. These are four biblical principles of stewardship. And first is the principle of ownership. The principle of ownership. The psalmist begins Psalm 24 with these words: "The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." God owns it all. In the beginning of Genesis, we read that God created everything. He put Adam and then Eve in the garden to work the garden and to care for it. He made them stewards of His creation, caretakers of His creation. He entrusted His creation to them. And it's clear from the beginning that it was intended for man to work. Work was not a result of the curse or the fall. Work existed before Adam and Eve sinned and fell. Work became a pain after the fall, but we were created to serve and to work and to steward what God has given to us. And that work that God gives us is the stewardship of all the creation that God has given man's responsibility. And so this is the fundamental principle of biblical stewardship. God owns everything. God owns everything. We are simply the managers or the administrators or the stewards acting on His behalf. God owns everything. It's the principle of ownership. We don't. It's an interesting passage in Deuteronomy 8 when Moses was preparing the people to enter into the promised land. And he knew that once they got settled into the promised land and they discovered the fruit of the land and they started building houses and they started settling down, he knew that the temptation for them was to think, "Oh, look what we did. Look what we did." And so in Deuteronomy 8:17, he says to them, "You might say, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.'" And that's our tendency. "I did this. I earned this." At the very next verse, Moses counsels us to think otherwise. He says, "Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth." Even our ability as humans to produce wealth is not something that's just in and of ourselves. It's something that God gives to us. So the first principle of biblical stewardship, of being entrusted by God with these things of our lives, our treasure, our talents, and our time, the first principle is a principle of ownership, and we need to be reminded that God owns everything. The earth is the Lord and everything in it and all who live in it. The second thing is the principle of responsibility. Although God has given us all these, the scripture talks about God has given us all things richly to enjoy, the truth is nothing is really ours. It's been given to us. It's been entrusted. Nothing really belongs to us. Now, I like to think that my house belongs to me, belongs more to the mortgage company right now than it does to me. But it's, my house, my stuff. But nothing really belongs to us. God owns everything, and we are responsible for how we treat what He has given to us and what we do with what He has given to us. And while we are always, especially in our country, talking about our rights and we're demanding our rights, basically the Bible is reminding us, what are your responsibilities? It's not about your rights, it's about your responsibilities. Owners have rights. Stewards have responsibility. So if God is the ownership, and we settle the ownership issue that God is the owner of this whole created universe, and he's the owner of our lives, he has the rights to our lives. We are stewards. We've been entrusted with what he's given us, and we have responsibilities. And so in this passage that we read today and in other similar parables that Jesus tells, we realize that we are called as God's stewards to manage what belongs to God. And God has graciously entrusted us with the care and the development and the enjoyment of everything that he owns. He's entrusted that to us as his stewards. And we are responsible to manage, you could look at it this way, we're responsible to manage his holdings, what he's entrusted to us. We're responsible to manage that according to his desire and his purposes. So if we settle the fact that everything belongs to God and then realize we have a responsibility to properly steward or manage what he's entrusted to us, then we begin to get the picture of what God expects of our lives. The third principle of biblical stewardship is the principle of accountability. The steward is someone who manages the possessions of another. We are all stewards of the resources, the abilities, the opportunities that God has entrusted to our care. And one day, each of us will be called to give an account for how we have managed what the Master has given to us. And that last verse that we read from verse 48 of Luke chapter 12, it says, from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. We're going to have to give an answer for how we've used our lives. And from one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. So what God entrusts us, he asks us to give that back to him or to use it for him. But we are to be accountable. A steward is the one who manages the possessions of another person. And we are all stewards of the resources and the abilities and the opportunities that God has entrusted to us. And that's, most a lot of you may be familiar with the parable of the talents where, you know, the landowner, the master gives 10 talents to one and 5 to another and 1 to another. And they're supposed to put those to use. And when he comes back, he wants to find out how they have used those. And it's really clear in that parable that God has given his resources to us. And whether that's money, whether that's our talent and skills and abilities, whether that's our time, he's given resources to us, and we are called to manage what he has entrusted to us in accordance with the principles that he's established. And that we have to give an account. And in that parable, the master comes back and he says to the person he'd given, well, what did you do with what I gave you? And you know the story. He said, well, I invested it and I gained 10 more talents back. And a talent there was actually talking about a form of money, an amount of money. We often use that in a broader sense to talk about our talents and our gifts and so on. His response was, well done, you know, good and faithful servant. And the same thing happens with the 5. He used what God had given him, and then he had multiplied that, and he was commended for what he had done. And then the last person that had given 1 said, well, I know that you are a stringent and a shrewd manager, and I didn't want to waste this, so I just buried it. And I mean, even though it's talking about money there, I think we apply that sometimes in regard to our talents and abilities and the gifts that God has given to us and our tendency to just bury those and not use them. And that man didn't get a very good response from his master. I mean, he didn't get a very good response because he didn't use what had been entrusted to him. He wasn't a good steward of what had been entrusted to him. There's always this sense of accountability where we are going to have to give account to God for how we used what we've been given, whether that's our time, our money, our abilities, the information that we have and know, the wisdom that we have, the relationships that we have. We will all give an account to the rightful owner who is God, as to how well we've managed the things that he's entrusted to us. And to me, that's a little bit of a sobering experience. And I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I know that by God's grace, because of what Jesus has done on the cross for me, I'm going to stand before him in heaven and know that I have the gift of eternal life. And then I don't know how it's all going to work, but at least according to Scripture, I'm going to give an account for how I've lived my life. And to the one who's been given much, much will be demanded. Every time I read that, I want to step down from behind the pulpit and run away. I mean, honestly, it's terribly, I feel awestruck and intimidated by that fact that someday I'm going to have to answer to God for how I've used my life. But it's not just me standing up here. I mean, there, in some sense, maybe there's a greater accountability, which I did not ask for or want. But for all of us, we're going to have to give an account for how we have lived our lives. There's this principle of accountability, and it's throughout Scripture. And the fact that we are recipients of God's grace doesn't take away that aspect of accountability. We're still going to answer to God for how we've used our lives. And I want him to be able to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And the last principle of biblical stewardship is the principle of reward. I don't understand all of this, and I'm not going to try to get down into the details. People have written whole books about how, you know, we can, you know, store up treasures in heaven and what that means. I'd like to think, you know, we're all going to be equal in heaven. And that may well be. But yet there are scriptures that talk about our rewards. There are scriptures that talk about those who have given up and sacrificed for the sake of the kingdom and what they will receive as a result of that. In Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24, the Apostle Paul writes, and this is all again about how you're entrusted with your life and what you do with your life. He says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord," because he's the one that we answer to. It's not what Paul says, that's what I said. "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working to the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." So there's this principle of reward. And I don't think that you can just say the reward is eternal life, because eternal life is a free gift that God has given us through faith in Jesus Christ. So there has to be some aspect where there's some type of reward that comes in direct proportion to how we've lived our lives for Christ. The Bible shows us in some of the other parables of the kingdom, when it talks about stewards and their masters, that the faithful steward who does the master's will and uses the master's resources in a way that is honoring to him can expect to be rewarded in the next life. And I think we should all long to hear the master say what he exclaims in Matthew 25, verse 21. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." There's a principle of reward. So when you think about your life, when I think about my life, you know, when we think about this idea of stewardship, what's been entrusted to us, what we give back to God, which I think is more than just money. Sometimes that's the easiest thing to give back to God. We give not only money, we give our talents, our skills, our abilities, our gifts. We give our resources back to God. We give our time back to God. But in this whole thing, we need to be reminded of the fact that whatever resources you and I have, they have been given to us by God. And they are given not only to provide for the needs of our family, but to further the work of God and his kingdom through his church and to meet the needs of others in the world in which we live. I may think, well, I'm not rich. I don't have much money to invest in God's kingdom. And that may well be true. God still expects us to give back to him a portion, and we'll be talking about that next week, to give back to him the first portion of what he has given to us. We would say what we have earned, but even what we earn is a gift from God. We may not have much money to invest in God's kingdom, so we say, oh, I don't need to listen to this. But we have time to give. Maybe you're in a situation in your life where you're a parent of young children and you're both working and you don't maybe have a lot of time to give. But you have financial resources to give. We all have gifts and abilities and talents that we can give. We are responsible to be good stewards or managers of whatever God has given to us and entrusted to us, our treasures, our talents, and our time. And we are to use those things for God's glory, for the sake of his kingdom, his church, and for the good of others. And I, for one, need to embrace this biblical view of stewardship, which connects everything in our lives, everything we do, everything we have, connects it with what God is doing in this world, and recognize that we are just giving back to him. Every act of kindness, every act of service, every act of love, everything we do to serve in the church, everything we do to serve in the community, is not just something that we're doing to do good. We're taking what God has entrusted to us, and in a sense, as we serve and as we give, we're giving it back to him. And all the resources that we have, we give back to God, and we use them for his sake, his kingdom's sake. And each one of us need to be faithful stewards of all that God has given us within the opportunities that he presents to us through his providence, through his work in our life. We're to give those back to him, to glorify him, to serve the common good of our world, to further his kingdom. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Every gift you have, every talent you have, all the resources that you have, they're a form of God's grace that's been extended to you. And we use those to serve others as faithful stewards. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2 says, "Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful." It is required of stewards that they be found faithful. We are all stewards of what God has entrusted to us. And we need to be faithful to him in how we use our lives, our abilities, our skills, our talents, our resources, our time, as good stewards who've been entrusted with these things for God's glory, for the sake of his church and his kingdom, and for the good of others. Let's pray together. Lord, forgive us for those times that we make our relationship with you only about coming to church, putting gifts in the offering, volunteering. All those things are good and important, but help us to realize that the very lives that you have given to us, your gift to us, and that you have entrusted to us, the resources that we have, you have entrusted to us the abilities and the talents and the gifts that you have given to us. You've given us spiritual gifts to use for the edifying and the building up of your church. You've given us time. You've given us energy. Remind us this morning that you expect us to give those things back to you, that you are the rightful owner of everything in our lives. May we desire deep in our hearts to be good and faithful servants who honor you with our lives and who give back to you with the realization that everything that we have and really everything that we are comes from you. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.